Hello, Cincinnati. Welcome to the second episode of our podcast. Today we got CB Doc joining us, otherwise known as Dr. Sarah Benjamin, who is a chiropractor in the greater Cincinnati area. He's going to discuss with us some baseball injuries. He's going to discuss the phenomenon going on with the elbow injuries and pitchers and the increase in Tommy John surgeries. Is it because we're throwing high heat? Is it because of the arm angle? We're going to find out from him. Once he leaves, my dad and I are going to dive into the mental fortitude of a player like a Spencer Steer who got pushed out of his native position, yet is still able to succeed every day at the plate. We're also going to talk about some of these guys that fly under the radar and don't get fair playing time. Well, I shouldn't say fair. We should call it regular playing time. And then once they do get that regular playing time, they prove everybody wrong and prove that they are great players. After that, we're going to talk about the roster that Nick Kroll has built. And it's pretty ingenious what he has done and what he has been able to pull off. So how about that, Red Legs fans? What do you say we get this thing started? I just sold out to the perfect condition. Coming alive.
All right, we're good to go now.
We're recording.
I don't know if that's good or bad, boys. I tell you who the bad best looking
one is. That
was a movie.
That has nothing to do with us. We're here to talk baseball.
Oh, I don't know. I think we're here to talk about health too. Right, Doc?
Of course, man. Baseball is good for your health.
You know what? It really is. It's America's favorite pastime.
Right. It might be America's favorite pastime, but I will ask you, if you go back as far as, Babe Ruth and some of the guys that play today, they don't look like the greatest physical specimen. So help me understand how it can be good for your health.
Country strong. Yeah, that's the old school strength right there. They knew how to party hard and play hard.
Okay, I'll go with that.
So for those of you that don't know, this is Dr. Sarah Benjamin. He is a good friend of ours. He's a chiropractor. And it's kind of funny to watch or hear stories about what a chiropractor can diagnose in regards to a person's health outside of just their spine. Because if anyone knows anything about chiropractors, the spine affects everything else in your body. Wouldn't you agree, Doc?
Of course, you know, and that has a big impact on even some of those pitching injuries that we see. You know, we'll focus on the elbow or one body part, but we fail to not always fail. I mean, I'm sure at the big league level, you're getting a good amount of evaluation, but sometimes the way your hips are moving, the way your spine is able to move impacts how much stress is on the elbow. How much are you able to fully bend your ankles, all of those particular motions, the whole body, the balance of that whole system, those kinds of biomechanics will affect how much stress is on your elbow, which we see so many of these elbow injuries now. So from a chiropractor's point of view, but anyone that's looking at biomechanics, physical therapists, and, you know, I'm sure many of the major league players are getting this to a certain degree. They're looking at the whole body from ankle on up. And if things are not moving right down below, then that can affect the stress that you have on the elbow or on the shoulder.
Okay, so let's dive into that a little bit. Spencer Strider, star pitcher for the Braves, just had UCL surgery, Tommy John, TJ surgery. Do you think the pitch clock is affecting the health in the elbow because they have to work quicker and or otherwise, or no?
I think it's affecting it. It's probably not the only reason, you know, the kinds of pitches people will talk about, the kinds of pitches that they're throwing. It's a lot more speed, squeeze, spin, and sweep. So you've got, you're throwing a maximum velocity on every pitch. That's going to wear that arm out. You've got, you're throwing maximum spin. You're trying to get the ball to move horizontally with spin and sweep. So that's going to wear that arm out a little bit more, the kinds of throws you're making. But then there is that element of fatigue. You know, the pitch clock is going to create a little more fatigue situations, and then fatigue creates the vulnerability to injury. So, and I think they've reduced the pitch clock this year by a few seconds as well. So I think, You know, if it's going to be 90 degrees, you're a 30-year-old pitcher, you're on the mound, you're in the sixth inning, you're at pitch number 80, you might need a little more recovery time to before you throw that next pitch. Because if you're throwing that pitch with fatigue, then and you're trying to beat that pitch clock, then you're susceptible to injury. So fatigue is what really sets up the injury in that case, and pitch clock may contribute to that. It's not the only thing, but it's certainly exacerbating the problem.
So to that point, you talk about the pitch clock, and to counteract that, it seems like some of the pitchers today are starting from the stretch rather than doing a full windup. Does that have any bearing on or put additional pressure on the elbow?
That is a good question.
Well, if your mechanics are good, then it shouldn't put more stress on the elbow. I mean, that's usually from the stretch or full windup. You'll get more velocity probably with the full windup. So maybe from the stretch, you know, you're going to reduce velocity a little bit. But if the mechanics are good, then, you know, it's going to be a good pitch. It's not going to affect that too much. But you might need 30 seconds between pitches, even if you're operating from the stretch. So you might need a little recovery time that's longer than what the pitch clock will allow. And that might be the issue there with that pitch clock.
So let me ask you this. You know, it's hard to not be romantic about the game of baseball. And the other night I was watching the documentary on Netflix, Facing Nolan, about Nolan Ryan. How do you think a guy like that lasted so long, pitching so many pitches per game, going deep into games? How many, I think he had, what, six or seven no-hitters? Like, what's different from him and that era compared to this era where we're pulling guys after five or six? Do you think it's a health thing or do you think it's a conditioning thing?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because at the end of the day, what are they, about 100 pitches is the limit, 110 if the manager's being generous. And back then, I don't think it would be any big deal for him to do well over 120 pitches.
Well, to that effect, in the documentary, Nolan Ryan said himself, they had a couple times where the coach would come out to the mound and they said, "How you feeling, Nolan?" He said, "Well, doing better than whatever you got warming up in the bullpen, so we're going to keep going, coach. Get off my mound."
Yeah, Nolan Ryan's a rare breed, but, you know, I think a lot of those guys throwing pitches, it was a lot of fastballs, a lot of vertical straight through. You know, there wasn't a lot of the side spin, the horizontal spin kind of pitches, what we'll see a lot of now. And they knew how to pitch. They knew how to throw strikes. It wasn't always sometimes they'd rear back and get that high velocity, but they weren't throwing their maximum effort, maximum velocity on every pitch. They knew how to control it. They knew how to get through a whole game, and then they weren't throwing as many. I don't know what the exact percentage is, but it doesn't seem like they were throwing a lot more of the what we would consider the sweeper kinds of pitches today.
Well, Greg Maddux is a perfect example. How many – I don't know what the stat is. I'd have to look it up. How many hitters did he have like a 3-1 count against? Like, it was very, very few, because he was worried about control, not velocity. And I'm not knocking velocity, but – if you throw a ball fast and it's flat, it's just 100-mile-an-hour batting practice. Now, if you can throw a ball fast and it moves, you're in good shape, but you're also going to put extra wear and tear, like you talked about, on your elbow and your body.
Right.
So that brings up an interesting point, Doc. So if you think back to 20 years ago when Clayton was playing youth baseball, thing was, you know, they were trying to minimize the number of curveballs that pitchers were throwing, because they were saying that at those younger ages, that was what could create a problem going forward as they get older. Now, if you look at it, to your point, velocity's going up, but in conjunction with velocity, when I talk to a couple of the major league pitchers, some of them emphasize the movement on their fastball, which I hear you saying may result in them having a different spin on it or whatever. Is that where some of the pressure comes?
Yeah. They're trying to get a little bit more movement, maybe holding the seams a little bit differently on that baseball. These balls are pretty slick, so you got to tighten your grip, and that's where the squeeze comes in. That also has an impact on putting more stress on the arm. So that kind of movement, that horizontal side-to-side spin that you're trying to get, whether you're throwing a fastball, changeup, curve, or slider, those kinds of motions are putting the stress, a little more stress on the arm.
So if we can digress just a second, yeah. I think in the past day or two, Rob Gronkowski threw out the first pitch at the Bo Sox game. Did you happen to see that?
I did not.
I'm wondering how much stress that put on his elbow.
It may have put a little stress on him, but I think he's a one and done guy. You know, he's a one pitch guy and he's done.
But, I think he probably had a couple beers beforehand too, if I had to guess.
Well, you never know, because he, in traditional Gronk mode, he spiked it like a football into the mound.
Great showman.
Him and Marshawn Lynch between the two of them. But while we're here, so Sarah, I will reshuffle this so that we can use this as a little bit of an opener. Doc, can you give me a little bit of a background on yourself? You know, sports background, chiropractic background. Doesn't have to be long-winded, but let the people know what you're all about, man.
Yeah, I love sports. So chiropractic was kind of a way to deal with some sports injuries. And so I've been doing that for about 27 years now. And it's been good. I've seen a lot of different angles on these sports, as you guys know, and from baseball, football, soccer. So, and that's another thing with maybe some of these guys in the past that have been able to have long careers. Some of the, you've seen some of the schedules of some of the baseball tournaments and showcases and leagues going on now among the youth. They have a full year schedule. They've got tournaments even between Christmas and New Year's Day. So it's a lot of wear and tear on them. And they're getting a lot more Tommy John surgeries and those types of treatments even in high school now. So that's something that's a little bit different than the guys in the past too. I'm sure they weren't doing year-round tournaments and multiple leagues and those kinds of things that what some of the kids are doing today.
All right, well, so here we go. Speaking of Tommy John surgery, Ohtani just had his second, right? TJ Antone is on his third. How do you think he comes back from that, or if he come is he, if he's able to come back from that at all? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I don't know if you know, it becomes more difficult after each time, and you know, when you have more of these surgeries, there's a longer rehab and recovery period. So it can be done. You know, some of these procedures that they do on that particular ligament right here, that UCL ligament, it could be Tommy John, where they take a tendon from another part and attach that, or it could be a situation where they just kind of brace the ligament or the tendon attachment that's already there. And sometimes that's a little bit easier to recover from. So if they have a third operation like that, depends on what kind of operation they're having. And that may indicate how quickly they can come back, but you're not going to have the same velocity more than likely. You know, it's going to be something where you're not able to throw as hard. And so you're going to have to change and adapt to that.
Become more of a pitcher?
Exactly.
So TJ Antone.
Yeah.
As we know, he's, I don't know if they exactly labeled it Tommy John surgery, but he just had his third elbow surgery. Yeah. What's the possibility of him coming back from that and being a productive major league pitcher again?
It's possible. I couldn't give a percentage. And again, if it is a different, if it's a matter of stabilizing the structure that's already there, then, and that's his third surgery. So that might be something that he can come back from a little bit more quickly. And it's just a matter of, you know, what kind of a pitcher you have to become. You know, if he's a, if you're throwing 95, you might have to be at 90 and try to get batters out, like you said.
Just work the zone.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
How about Williamson? I believe his is more in the shoulder. Are you familiar with his injury and his timetable to return?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what he was diagnosed with, but if it was a strain, then you're looking at about 4 to 6 weeks in that shoulder. But everyone's going to be a little bit different with that. So I'd give about 4 to 6 weeks typically.
Now, when you talk non-pitchers, you think of someone like McClain. If I'm not mistaken, when he initially had his injury, they were saying he'd come back in the second half of the year. Then it was late in the year, and apparently it was a labrum issue. Now they're saying he might not be back this year. I mean, if it's a torn labrum, what's the possibility or probability he might return in this season, given the fact it happened almost at the start of the season?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I think 3 to 6 months, but everyone's a little bit different how they respond to surgery. With a labrum like that, it's a matter of getting the strength back into the shoulder as well. So that kind of rehab, how quickly that will progress will be the issue. He might be able to come back this year. More than likely, he'll be ready by next year.
So I'm a prime example of that. I've had two labrum surgeries, and if you don't stick to what your doctor and therapist tell you to do, you are not going to come back as fast as possible.
No doubt. It says
7 days ago they had a post online that said Matt McClain is still recovering from shoulder surgery, but there's optimism he could return in August. Which would be a good time if we're making a postseason push as the Cincinnati Reds.
Definitely. It would be great to have him back, but when I listen to some of the television broadcasts, they're talking more like this season looks like a long shot. So time will tell. How about one of my favorite players, TJ Friedl?
Uh-huh. I knew that's where you were going.
I think he injured his wrist diving for a ball. They originally said later this month, and now they're pushing it back another week or two. They didn't say if he was having any complications. Can you give us any insight on that one?
That one, it looks like it was a wrist fracture, so it was probably the bone right here leading up to the thumb, that radius. They'll call that the distal head of the radius. So if it's not displaced or anything like that, or if it didn't require surgery, then it's just a matter of time, and then they'll look at that bone and see how it's healing. And if it's healing, if it's going to take a little bit longer to heal, they might push back his rehab. But he'll be all right. It's a matter of about you know, just getting the strength back in that wrist now. And he's a lefty, right?
Correct. He is a lefty.
Yeah. So he'll be able to maintain some of that strength and get that back. But if they push back that timeline, it's probably just a matter of waiting for that bone to heal properly, because you definitely don't want to put too much stress on that and injure it or re-injure it.
So if we can take a step back, Doc.
Yeah.
You were talking about sports medicine and your interest in treating sports injuries. I know that over the years you've attended from time to time sports medicine conferences, but just as far as the educational background of a chiropractor, how many years of school did it take?
It's 4 years after undergrad. So after that 4 year period, then you go through different things that you, for sports injuries, I did a separate program for that, but typically it's 4 years after undergrad.
See, because it's pretty impressive. Like, you know, you talk about someone's injury and you can point it out real quick. And like last year when Ashcraft got hurt, I was like, hey, what do you think the timeline is for this injury? And pretty quickly you were able to give, like, for lack of a better term, a dead nuts answer on that timeline. And I think it's kind of funny because, like, if you try to go to a medical practice to find a doctor in network typically chiropractors are not considered in that category, but chiropractors, in my opinion, have been able to diagnose more stuff than I've seen any other doctor be able to diagnose. It's pretty wild, dude.
Well, I'm sure there's a place for everything. We could all work together and try to get whatever player injury or whatever player is recovering from an injury to get better quickly.
So if we can take this off script,
Uh-oh.
what was your baseball team in your days of youth?
Uh-oh.
As
Uh-oh.
far as rooting for, I was born in Cleveland, so I rooted for the Indians. I still call them the tribe. But then I grew up in St. Louis, so I followed the Cardinals, and especially during those Whitey Herzog years. And Whitey Ball was a big deal. I don't know if you can even say Whitey Ball now. I might get in trouble for that, though.
I don't know if you can say that, but the news was on the wire today. Rest in peace, Whitey Herzog.
Oh, I didn't even hear that. Yeah,
Yeah.
boy, he was a great one. And played, coached, and managed baseball the right way. Got guys on, get them over, and get them in. And so that was a fun time period watching Whitey manage in St. Louis.
And then you became a Reds fan when you moved to Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, I always rooted for the Reds, especially the big Red Machine years. So off and on, and I was a Pete Rose fan and Joe Morgan. Man, I tried to imitate his swing growing up, but yeah, so I definitely will follow the Reds, root for them, and hope they do well, and want to see them win a World Series before we're long gone.
Wait
And
a
if I'm
minute,
not
wait a minute.
mistaken, where was your first date with your fiance, Nicole?
Uh-oh.
That was at Reds ballpark with you two. Man,
Ah, there you go. The tie that binds.
the Arizona Diamondbacks, yes.
I couldn't have told you that one.
So here's one for you. You were a Pete Rose fan. I'm not trying to compare the person I'm about to mention to him, nor am I saying that person is as good, better, worse, whatever. Would you view TJ Friedl as the Reds' modern day version in their lineup?
Well, why not? I haven't seen enough of him play, but the times I have seen him, he reminds me of that guy. He could be the next modern day version of this big red machine.
Yeah, it's the whole work hard mentality. You know what I mean? Like,
Yep.
hey, I might not be the most gifted person on the diamond in the major leagues, but I'm gonna outwork you. And I've always appreciated that myself as a sports player and fan. Like, you know, a lot of times the guy that works hard can outperform the guy that has all the talent and doesn't work hard.
Exactly. Yes. And that gets back to some of these injuries. Availability is your best ability, and you can have some talent, but if you're not there to perform, then let's get some guys that can manage it and get through it and work hard and help the team out.
That's how I feel about my fantasy football team.
Yeah.
It's about availability.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Dude, do you remember the time you had a kicker you drafted? He broke his ankle like the opening kickoff of
Yeah.
the season.
He'll never play for me again.
That's right. How about you having those kickers?
It's hard job being a kicker nowadays. They
Oh,
get fired so fast. It's a short leash for those dudes. I feel bad for them. There's no
yeah.
more really like Adam Vinatieri's. I think who's the guy out of Baltimore? Justin Tucker. He's like the last real meal deal, I think.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Well, I gotta give Money Mac some credit, okay? We gotta give Evan McPherson some love
But
here. All right. But
it's a
still.
shorter sample size.
Yeah, it's a shorter sample size. Justin Tucker's legit. Like, you can't beat that. He might be the greatest to ever do it outside of Vinatieri's Super Bowl winning kicks. We'll put it that way.
Oh yeah, it's
So
a
when the Reds are playing the Cardinals, for whom are you rooting?
Well, I'll just watch the game. I don't have any rooting interest right now. It's I'm just watching to make sure no one gets injured. That's it.
So we
Yeah,
should tell
for
them to have
everyone to
you on
get through the
speed
game
dial.
healthy.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only way to look at the game now.
All right, so here's a funny story for you. You're going to appreciate this. The first recording of this podcast we did at spring training, as I'm sure you heard, with Ashcraft, Abbott, and then Lyon Richardson. Lyon Richardson's in AAA right now for the Reds. He came up last year for a few games. And they were talking about this masseuse that comes in, this guy that's like 5'5", and like when he finds a spot in one of your muscles that has a big knot, he'll spend 45 minutes working on it until it's loose. And Lyon said, it's funny, because he's like, yeah, that guy refers to me as, you my number one big problem.
Oh boy, it's
I was dying laughing. I was like, that's not a good nickname to have, is to be the number one big problem.
Well,
you apparently don't stretch enough.
I've been accused of that one time. First injury I ever had was in my 30s. I turned my ankle. I went to the physical therapist, and they promptly started trying to stretch me out and said, you have to be the tightest person I've ever met. And I said, you've been talking to my family.
Yeah, you're like Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Stick a lump of coal up his ass in a week, you'll have a diamond. Oh. Well, you got any other questions, Dad?
I think we've got most of them answered, but you got any good information to impart upon us, Cyril?
Oh, yeah.
Before we wrap this up?
No, love hanging out with you guys, man. This is a good time. And
we'll certainly make this a regular part, a regular segment of our podcast.
Definitely.
So we can keep getting further insight on these injuries and when we might get some of these players back.
Absolutely. Yes. Just stay healthy.
It's a war of attrition.
Exactly.
Indeed.
All right, buddy. Well, if you don't have anything else, I think we're good to go. I believe you have a day job you got to get back to.
I do.
Well, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. See you, buddy.
I'll see you.
What do we want to talk about?
Fundamentals. As soon as we start a podcast, everyone gets away from that. Well, we're not going to steal. We're just hoping for the home runs. We're going to worry about getting on base and creating opportunities and worry about stealing and fundamentals. And it's like, that's what we've been saying the whole time. Are you kidding me? This is not a complicated concept. It's the game of baseball. It's been around for 100 years.
There's a few fundamentals we've talked about for over a decade. Swing for contact, pitch for contact, strong up the middle on defense, situational baseball, know where to throw the ball from the outfield, know the situation when you're running the bases.
Yeah, it's complex, but the analytics side of this that was, I'd say, most likely generated, or most of it generated from the whole Moneyball craze that the Oakland A's did, threw all that out the window. And now they're starting to come back. But as they say, things in life are cyclical. So they'll probably go back to the fundamentals, and then someone will come up with some new stats metric, and they'll go back to analytics again, and then they'll go back to the fundamentals. And it's like, man, just slow is smooth, smooth is fast, dude. Keep it
well,
simple.
There is a role for analytics, but I don't think analytics is the complete answer.
No.
You know, exit velocity is great on a swing, but you got to hit the frickin' baseball first. Well, it's the same with pitchers. I mean, there's an emphasis on velocity on pitches, but at the end of the day, if you're throwing it straight and flat, 98 to 100 miles an hour, you're easier to hit than someone that's throwing at 96 to 98 and has movement on the fastball, because all I have to do is learn to time your pitch.
Okay, so here's one for you. When I was a kid, we would go to the games, and we'd be walking back, and we'd leave like the seventh, eighth inning, and we'd hear the fireworks, and you would always say, well, sounds like Danny Graves closed out the game. How hard do you think Danny Graves was throwing back then?
Well, I don't know how hard he was throwing, but I would say it would be in the lower 90s.
Okay, so that shows you how far it's come. in what, 15, 20 years? How do you feel if you're a guy like Spencer Steer and you keep getting shuffled around to different positions? Now he's finally got a home in an outfield, in the outfield, I should say. But how do you think a guy like that can produce at the plate like he did last year after getting pushed around through so many positions because they had all this young talent surging into the big leagues that they were bringing up? You think it's a mentality thing? Is it a mental game?
Well, I think it is a mental game, and I think that it just depends on the player. Some players handle it better than others.
Okay, so what if they put Ellie in the outfield? How do you think Ellie would do if they started pushing around between the outfield and the infield? Better or worse? And I'm talking offensively, not defensively.
Yeah, I don't think he would handle it as well.
I don't disagree. Personally, there are very few people that I think can pull off being a switch hitter consistently and successfully throughout their career, like a Chipper Jones did. I think Steer's got that mental capacity to possibly do that. Obviously, he's not a switch hitter. If it was me, I'd tell Ellie to probably stick to the left side of the plate because he seems to succeed very well on the left side of the plate. Now, with that being said, defensively, I think if they put him in the outfield, given his speed, I think he could save the team a lot of runs scored or hits against them, especially given his length and size. But that's just me. And he's got a cannon, so
I was
he
going to say,
can,
what about his arm?
yeah, he can throw a rope from center field to home plate probably and throw some guys out, which could be a big bonus. But I don't want to give that spot away and take it away from TJ Friedl because TJ saves a lot of runs.
Who has the best arm in the outfield?
Probably Benson. He's a freak athlete. He had the
He
opportunity to play
allegedly was
basketball
a
at
good
Duke. Yeah.
basketball player in the day.
Yeah. That's my point. And then he's actually worked a lot on his fielding, I guess, in the offseason, and he's actually saved a couple of hits for some of the pitchers this year. I think he did it for Graham the other night.
That also helped them.
Well, and I think the other big part of the maintaining a, we'll call it a winning season. How about that? Is stability on the roster. And I think someone like a Jake Fraley provides a lot of stability. He also provides a lot of heart. Like that's what guys like Fraley and Friedel and Benson bring is the heart and the hustle. They're not the
Does
most
Braley
highly.
have good hair?
Dude, if I was casting a TV show right now that was going to be about Vikings and was purely based on looks, he'd be the first person I hired.
He'd be your guy?
Oh, yeah. Paint some tattoos like on his face or something. You know how the Vikings always had the crazy tattoos? Oh, yeah. He could 100% pull that off. No doubt.
So he
Especially with
has
the
a
beard.
future.
Oh, yeah. He's got a future. Viking pictures, dude. Viking pictures.
So if you're talking about outfielders, how do you like Fairchild?
I always liked him. I don't remember if he got traded or cut. It may have been cut or released. And then he ended up coming back to the Reds. He's got the speed, he's got the ability. Again, it's going to go back to the thing I've always talked about. Like, if you give guys a fair shake at having an everyday spot, they're going to produce better because it's a sport of baseball. You got to get into a groove and a rhythm. And if you don't give them that chance, then you never know what they can really be. To me, as sad as it is to say, Senzel was someone who didn't necessarily get the shake and he got pushed around positions from third base to outfield and he didn't handle it as well as a Steer did at the time, but he's always been a great player. So I like Fairchild. He's probably actually one of the faster guys in the league, to be honest with you.
Well, I think you brought up a good point with Senzel. I do think he is someone that didn't react as well to being shuffled around on the defensive side of the field, and it impacted his offense. Had he had the opportunity to just stay at third, I think it would have served him better.
And who did he get pushed out of third base by?
Suarez.
Oh my God. You're going to make me puke, but you're right.
Suarez, who had one good year.
He's worth a bucket of balls and a fungo bat. Well, I can't say that. They traded him, right? Whatever we got out of the trade was better than what we gave up. Good job, Nick Kroll.
Kudos to Nick Kroll.
Nick Kroll, I think he
robbed them.
Yeah. he's done some exceptional
stuff. He should have
been
prosecuted for what he did.
Yeah. Nick Kroll's done a great job building the young roster through trades. I'll give him that. That's been pretty wild to watch. And then you got
fun to watch as they finally build up the farm system.
Well, and then you got to remember, like, international signings too. Ellie was an international signing, so that was a good move as well, which was still a Nick Kroll move, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I don't work in the front office for a baseball team, but he's the GM.
Yep, he has done a great job. And there's someone else with whom I was not familiar when he got the job. But I would put him up there with the best in baseball at this juncture based on what he's put together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. All right. So let me ask you this. We're talking about acquiring all this talent. Who do you think the star talent, the star player is for the Reds? You got to pick one guy.
If you're picking one guy to sell tickets, I'm taking Ellie. If you're picking one guy that I think is the most complete player when he's on the field, I am biased towards a TJ Friedl because he is a very solid defender. He is aggressive. He can hit for average. He can lay down a bunt. He does all of the little things that I look for in a complete player. But then you've got somebody like Steer who can play multiple positions and hits for average. So, you know, you can make argument for a number of them. It just depends how you're defining star.
So wait a minute. You said Friedel's aggressive. Are you talking about, like, if he's out at a bar, he's going to be an aggressive individual in a fight? What's your thoughts on that?
I have no idea in his personal life how he conducts himself, but on the field we would say aggressive.
All right, so you get into a bar fight. Would you rather fight a baseball player, an NFL player, or an NHL player?
Oh, baseball player all day, every day. That's not even a question. And the last time I said that to a baseball player, I think the response I got was, well, you wouldn't think it would be so fun if I hit you with my 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Well, the fact that that's your defense tells me the baseball players can't fight.
Oh, man. So you said Ellie. Do you think he's fixed the hole in his swing, at least somewhat?
I think he's working toward fixing the hole in his swing. I think just sometimes he just gets too aggressive.
I agree. Speaking of that, I've watched India this year. He's done a lot better taking pitches and not swinging stuff that's marginally outside, swinging at stuff that is marginally outside of the zone. And, I mean, his batting average might not show it right now, but it's early in the season. I think he's definitely doing better than he was doing last year at the plate.
I think there is a term called plate discipline, and younger players sometimes struggle to understand that as well as the players that have been around for several years.
Yeah, I think he's figured it out.
How about Stevenson? Has he figured it out? I'd love to see him do what we would expect he could do.
Yeah, actually, if you go on to StatCast, he's like one of the tops in the majors for exit velocity off the bat. It's a stat that I don't necessarily like, but he's hitting the ball hard. It just might mean that he's hitting it right at the defensive player, which isn't something you can exactly control. You're talking about taking a round bat and hitting a round ball. You can't exactly sit there and hit it to the exact spot you want. So I think he's doing much better in that regard. He's hitting the ball hard. I think he's striking out less. He's doing what he needs to do. It'll get there.
How about CES?
Yeah, he's figuring it out too. You know, He started a little slow when he came up last year. He started a little slow this season, but then as time went on, he's gotten better and better. He's hitting the ball hard. He's getting the singles. He's got the power and the pop that they've been expecting him to have. I think it's a really good thing for him and the team. I think he's probably, everyone will say Ellie's their biggest power hitter, but I think he would be their most consistent power hitter.
And when he returns, how long will it take for Marte to get his swing down against live competition?
I think he'll be fine. If I had to guess, I'm saying wherever he's at, even though he, with what's gone on, I think that, in my opinion, he's probably got live pitching coming at him. It's not just the jugs machine. So I'm sure he's already seeing live BP, live pitches, curveballs, fastballs, changeups, sweepers, swifties, fatties, shorties, you know. I don't even, there's so many pitches, I don't even know them anymore. But I think we'll be good.
Yeah, I think they just rebranded some of the old pitches and came up with new names.
Yeah, I know. What happened to fastball, curveball, changeup? Done. Those are
Yeah, like I said, I think they've renamed some of them, and it's just hard to keep track.
Four seam, two seam, cutter, sweeper, changeup, curveballs, knuckleball, knuckle curve. What was it? Screwball, splitter.
They've got them all. They've got them all. How you feel about the relief pitching thus far?
I think moving Martinez to the bullpen is a good move because should a starter get in trouble, he can eat up four, five, six innings if he needs to. I mean, I won't go six. They're not going to let a reliever ever go six innings, I don't think, because they're going to want him the next day or the day after that. But he can still eat up innings, which is a good thing. And I'm not saying that in a negative manner, meaning he's just going to keep giving up runs. But you get the point. Like, you need to have a long reliever like that, and I think he's our best guy at that. Diaz is Diaz. He's going to do what he's going to do. And we'll see what happens when Jabeau comes back. It was kind of a bummer to lose TJ Antone. But, you know, that it's just a part of the game. I do like Lucas Sims. He's a good strikeout artist.
About Suter.
I like Suter, too. I'm not going to lie to you. The way he pitches, though, his stance there on the mound's kind of a little funky to me. He holds that glove way out from his body. I was thinking about it the other day when I was watching that. I was like, man, if I was hitting a pitcher, like, I'd be holding it close to my chest, not out here. I don't know how, like, some of the base runners on second base, if he gets a runner on second, can't see what pitch he's throwing and try to throw a sign to the hitter.
I don't know, but he gets results. That's all that matters.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Okay, you're in the bullpen. And you're playing for the Reds or any other major league team. What are you going to do while you're sitting out there the whole game? You going to be eating snacks? You going to be stretching? You going to be just shooting the breeze?
I don't do very well sitting still. So that's problem number one.
How much tea are you going to drink?
I don't know. How close is the bathroom?
I don't know. That's a good question. We need to ask Graham that. How close is the bathroom in the bullpen?
But the first thing I would do is probably stretch. Do some stretching exercises. Probably pace a little bit. And then just bull crap with the other relievers. And be up and down, up and down.
Would you be playing games like some of them do that you can see on the social media video clips? They'll like line four chairs up and act like they're on a roller coaster?
I would certainly participate, but I'm not creative enough to come up with them.
You gonna eat a Twinkie?
No.
No Twinkies?
I'm not eating food.
Oh, you're
while
eating
I'm in
peanuts. That's what you're doing. You're eating peanuts.
I might do that if they're salted in the shell.
Yeah, you're a peanut guy.
Do I have to clean up after myself? Because you get all those shells. That's a lot of work.
It's a ballpark. There's peanut shells everywhere.
All right, folks, thank you for tuning in this week. Make sure you come back next week as we're going to have Graham Ashcraft of the Cincinnati Reds on, in addition to our good friend Kevin Berman from out in Vegas, who is a sports fanatic himself. And knowing Berman, he's probably going to ask some interesting questions and have some interesting comments. So it should be a good one next week. That's it. That's all. Over and out.